I went to Cuba not because I had anything particular to say about Cuba. I was interested in the possibilities of photography to tell me and hopefully the rest of us something about Cuba that we didn't already know or think about. And if you look at my photographs of Cuba, what are they really? They're looking at the symbols of Cuba that most Americans have in their mind, the archetypes of Cuba, the American car, the beautiful woman, the revolutionary hero. In each one of those cases, I approach them as a photographer, as much as anything else, asking a question. Okay, if this is our sense of Cuba, if we see it through this lens, what does that really mean? And my first trip to Cuba, I thought it would actually be my only trip. I went there thinking, wouldn't it be interesting to look at Cuba through the lens of the late 50s, early 60s, when the relationship of the United States and Cuba actually stopped, when we began to withdraw from them, when they withdrew from our support and the American idea of capitalism. And the cars that are in Cuba today, the predominant cars, are the American cars from that period. So I thought to myself, what if I could see Cuba literally through that lens? And I use the car as a way of looking at the landscape of Havana. Not because, again, I knew what the pictures would say, but I wanted to see what it would say if in every image you would have an American car and a landscape of Havana. What would they say in relation to one another? The picture that we're looking at right now, made in old Havana, I think is an example of the way in which these car pictures work and speak to us. That's really subtle, it's almost subconscious. You look at an image like this, and your eye imagines the way you'd see it in reality. What you would see is in focus the landscape, or you'd see the foreground. I'm seeing them together. I'm seeing them absolutely in focus together. So there's a kind of a hyper-realism there, and then there's a kind of a surrealism there, because you see outside the window, there's blur, there's motion, and I think these pictures make us think, okay, this is reality, and then in another second you look at it and you think, you know, this is something a little bit surreal and strange, and it gets you to look at it and look at it again. And in every one of these pictures, there's kind of a symbol of the United States, either from the car or from the artwork that's in the car, and you think to yourself, okay, this is the way, the predominant way that Cubans themselves see their own country, through this lens, through this window of the late 50s, early 60s. In fact, it's the same window through which we in the United States still look at Cuba. So really, these cars are a kind of a metaphor for our relationship, and they ask us to think about that relationship and what it means that it's still stuck in this place. Technically, in order to make these pictures, I needed to use a view camera. I used a 4x5 camera, which is one of those cameras where you put the black cloth over your head. And every one of these car pictures is made with a great depth of field. I had to get the steering wheel, which was always about 19 inches away, in focus, all the way to infinity. And with one of these cameras, you can focus. This was a Sinar, and it shows you exactly where to focus halfway in between 19 inches and infinity. But then I had to light these pictures so that, you know, when you're inside of a car, the inside is always a little bit darker than the outside. So I would take a light reading outside or ask the driver to take a light reading outside. And then I had lights in the back seat with me. So I have a view camera, a special tripod with a tripod stuck between the seats, holding absolutely still because every one of these pictures is at least 10 exposures on the same sheet of film. So imagine that I've got lights in my left hand. With my right hand, once I've got it focused, I'm cocking the shutter of the lens, set on f64, I take a flash exposure. Then I move my flash a slight distance, and I take another exposure. If, for instance, this is 1 second at f64, I might make 10 one-tenth of a second exposures each time moving the light. And this isn't digital, so I don't know if I've made a mistake or not, so I'm having to make two or three exposures each time, which is really like 30 exposures. Just to make sure I don't get movement and hit the camera. And each one of these represents a kind of a sauna for me as well. So I felt like I had to go home and just change clothes when it was done because it was about 110 degrees inside these cars. And it was a pleasure to photograph inside convertibles, let me just say that. So on my second trip to Cuba, I went there to photograph the influence of Jose Marti on Cuba, but also the role that Martí plays as a symbol of what Cuba could be or should be. And it makes me think really of Walker Evans and what his photographs say about time and the effects of time. If you look at any of Evans's pictures, like all great works of art, they're really ultimately about time. And Evans is there in Havana photographing this old colonial city with its facades of grandeur at the moment of economic deprivation and turmoil. And you really think about time in his pictures. You think about that also in relation to the individual lives of people that he photographs. You think about those dock workers, covered in soot. You think about their lives, the time they've spent that day, but also the time of their lives. So I think in my photographs, I'm really also trying to look at time. This is a picture of a shrine to José Martí. It's a private shrine. In some ways, it's completely inaccurate. Cuba is not bigger than the United States. It doesn't actually touch Florida. It's not longer than Latin America. But in some ways, it's remarkably accurate. There's José Martí in the United States, where in fact he did spend most of his life in exile from Cuba because of sedition against Spain. He spent his time in the United States writing about life in the United States for Latin America. He was never an assimilated immigrant. He always wrote from a distinctly Latin American perspective, but he also wrote and dreamed about the ideal Cuban nation. What could Cuba be? What are the possibilities of this nation? And he wrote about a nation with freedom of speech and freedom of the press. He wrote about they would have their own indigenous form of democratic government. There would be unity. There would be sacrifice. People would love Cuba the same way they love their families. And my idea for this trip to Cuba was that I would have those ideas of Martí's in mind, but in every picture, I would have a statue of José Martí. So in some way, he would always be present. My sense was he's always present in the mind of Cubans. He had to be present in my pictures. And each of the photographs of this particular trip, you'll notice there's a statue of José Martí. And in each of the pictures, I was thinking about a particular Martí aphorism or saying. The thing that strikes me about this particular photograph is that Cubans are drawn to Martí the hero, Martí the political writer, but also Martí the man, Martí the family man, who was separated from his son, Pepe, from his wife, who were living in Cuba. If he went back to Cuba, it would be a failure on his part. He would have given in to the Spanish and given up his fight for a free Cuba. He wrote a famous book of poetry about his son called Ismaelo, one of the first modernist poets. And his son was about the age of this young boy when he wrote that book. I'm standing here about to take this picture, and a young boy pops up above the wall in the background playing with another kid down the alleyway, and I made the picture. And I think it just shows how serendipity plays such a large part in photography, and luck, and you just have to be ready. You have to be there to make the picture.